Poštovani prisutni, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for coming today. The meeting of the Peace Implementation Council Steering Board concluded some 30-40 minutes ago. And as you know, the members of the new presidency, as well as representatives of civil society in Bosnia-Herzegovina, took part in some of the sessions. I must tell you frankly that members of the Peace Implementation Council were quite impressed, both by civil society members, but also by the members of the state presidency. We spoke to Željko Komšić and to Baki Izetbegović. As you know, Mr. Radmanović is in Astana, in Kazakhstan, to attend the OSCE summit. What these two gentlemen said, but also there was a chief of cabinet present, of Mr. Radmanović, was quite remarkable, and everybody could feel a new atmosphere, a new tone of communication, a new vocabulary, also maybe new hope, more optimism, and maybe we have now a new face for Bosnia-Herzegovina, for the outside world. Of course, we also hope that this good cooperation, this trust, President Komšić and Izetbegović both mentioned trust and confidence, that this will also trickle down to lower levels of state institutions, be it the state government, be it the entity governments, that they would also cooperate in such a spirit as we have seen at the level of the state presidency. The communique should be with you very shortly, but I would like to give you a first-hand approach and a sense of what was discussed and agreed over the last 2 days. Discussions were dominated by the fact that we have just marked 15 years since Dayton, and Bosnia-Herzegovina has just successfully held a general election, and government coalitions are now being formed. With regard to the Dayton anniversary, Steering Board members repeatedly stressed how far Bosnia and Herzegovina has come in what is a relatively short period of time. Of course, maybe citizens are not always satisfied, but we have also to consider that war has ended only 15 years ago. The country has remained at peace, and no one should diminish the fundamental importance of this. But while there was a real appreciation of the substantial progress that has been made since 1995 in implementing Dayton and establishing state-level institutions that are needed in order to make Bosnia and Herzegovina a functioning country, there was a clear determination, and this was again and again expressed as a matter of utmost priority, that the last 4 years of political stalemate, the last 4 years of political stalemate must not be repeated. This is why over the last 2 days, the Peace Implementation Council was discussing the real priorities and challenges that Bosnia and Herzegovina is facing today, and how the international community can best facilitate progress in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And this progress will be very important for you, not only for the next 4 years, because whatever you will decide the next 4 years, it will directly reflect your lives for the next 40 years. If you will join NATO in the next 4 years, or be a partner in the membership action plan of NATO, or you will be a candidate country in the European Union the next 4 years, this will be of huge importance for Bosnia-Herzegovina for the next decades. So the next 4 years are really very important. Also, we have noted that the region is moving forward. Bosnia will soon have, in 1 or 2 years, 1,000 kilometers of common border with European Union, once Croatia will join European Union. We have in the south a candidate country who will get candidate status, Montenegro. So Bosnia will not only have 1,000 kilometers of common border with European Union soon, in a way it will be encircled by member states or candidate states. So this is really a time now to think how Bosnia-Herzegovina herself can move forward in an accelerated way. So the big countries have expressed their wish that governments, for this reason, which I mentioned, for the Euro-Atlantic integration and reforms, that governments be formed as quickly as possible, that government coalitions need to agree on an agenda that will put the country back on the path of Euro-Atlantic integration. Secondly, that the political leaders who gained the support of the electorate in October now have the chance to demonstrate that they are responsible and committed to moving this country forward. They must seize this opportunity for a fresh start and show that they agree that further standstill is not an option. The PIK took the view that Bosnia-Herzegovina must get back on track in key policy areas, including state and defense property, constitutional reform, and EU partnership requirements, including the BIH census. The PIK also made clear that the international community is ready to work on these issues with the political leaders that were chosen by the people of Bosnia-Herzegovina. We are ready to help, to assist. We like to work with you together as partners and with increased ownership, of course, of Bosnia-Herzegovina. The PIK agreed with my view that political rapprochement, in contrast to the confrontational policy of the past, is a prerequisite for progress. In this regard, the PIK is well aware of what is going on in the region. It is obvious that Serbia and Croatia have set their sights on EU membership, and this has changed the bilateral relations and regional cooperation in a fundamental way. We have seen some positive statements lately from BIH leaders, and the PIK encouraged the efforts being made by the BIH presidency and called on them to take an increased role in coordinating the institutions in Bosnia-Herzegovina. However, Bosnia-Herzegovina, which tends to gain most from this rapprochement in the region, has until now gained least. The country's previous political establishment remained behind the regional curve. So we hope that the new political establishment will take a different approach. So while Dayton has brought peace and progress, the Peace Implementation Council agreed that in the long run, EU membership offers the strongest guarantee that the people of Bosnia and Herzegovina will achieve through it, and it should be security, of course, and prosperity. This is why we need to take advantage of the fresh start that the election has made possible. We need a change of approach, and the PIK made this explicitly clear. Governments need to be formed as soon as possible, and they need to be formed on the basis of how effective they can be. Equally important as the speed, of course, is profoundness and the substance of the coalition agreement. Of course, in the United Kingdom, the coalition agreement is only 2 pages long. In some countries, like in my country, it's 200 pages long. But it really has to be a substantive one in order to facilitate work later, that issues can be implemented which have been agreed earlier in the coalition agreement. This means more than negotiating the allocation of cabinet seats, it means negotiating the allocation of cabinet seats to people who can work together in order to carry forward an ambitious and difficult agenda. So we really expect substantive coalition agreements. The steering board also discussed the findings of the progress report on Bosnia and Herzegovina issued 2 weeks ago by the European Commission. You all know that the report was far from positive. It described limited progress, lack of shared vision amongst government officials, and the possibility that Bosnia and Herzegovina is slipping into systematic violation of its international commitments. Clearly, no one in Bosnia and Herzegovina or in the international community can view this as a satisfactory record. So the political strategy in this country has to change. And now that the elections are behind us, there is a chance to change it. The PIC expressed hope that this chance will not be thrown away, that it will be utilized. There was a clear consensus that the visa liberalization was not just a warm welcome for BIH citizens to travel to Europe. It also showed that Bosnia-Herzegovina can meet international conditions when its leaders make an effort to. Of course, citizens are warmly welcomed in Europe to come as tourists to visit European cities as of 15th of December, absolutely. But PIC wanted to stress how the process was successful. It started late, the visa liberalization process. You had to fulfill the famous 174 conditions. You had to issue biometric passports, which you did. 400,000 copies have been already issued to citizens. So there was this effort, and it was an effort and a proof that it can be done if there is political will. Bosnians and Herzegovinians need to make sure that their leaders want to do so more often, not just on visa issues, not just on IMF issues, but also on many other issues. And unfortunately, or fortunately as you like, the process to become a member is a very painful one. We speak now about, I think, 35 chapters to be implemented and about hundreds of thousands of pages of common legal text of the European Union. This all has to be translated, not language-wise, but into local legislation. And the international community and the EU have shown that they will respond positively when Bosnian-Herzegovinian leaders do the right thing. The PIC was also very clear that constitutional changes need to be made in order to make Bosnia-Herzegovina work better. Decision-making needs to be more efficient. We didn't speak about strengthening centralization, but we would like to have strengthening of functionality, strengthening of efficiency of existing institutions. As a matter of priority, constitutional reform negotiations should produce agreement on ending the violation of citizens' rights, and there are several hundred thousand citizens' rights which are violated based on the Constitution and which have to be changed based on the Sejdić-Finci ruling. Let me conclude by explaining what this PIC was not about. Discussions did not focus on OHR closure. They focused on the challenges that Bosnia and Herzegovina faces, challenges that are all the more serious and pressing today because of the stagnation in the past 4 years. So although the PIC reviewed progress on the 5+2 agenda, you will not find a breakdown of each condition and each objective in the communique as it was the case sometimes and earlier. As you know, in February 2008, the PIC defined 5 objectives and 2 conditions that must be met before the OHR can be closed. This hasn't changed, nor has it been achieved, lamentably. And it won't be done by the PIC. It won't be done by the international community. The 5+2 conditions have to be done by the men and women who are currently forming governments. It's a task for the leaders of Bosnia-Herzegovina, not for the international community. Members of the PIC were very clear also that the issues facing Bosnia-Herzegovina today are not the responsibility of the OHR or the international community, but it is a responsibility of the country's elected leadership. OHR will close, sure, but only when all the conditions and objectives have been fulfilled. In the meantime, the OHR will continue to work with BIH leaders. OHR will ensure respect for the Dayton Peace Agreement and will work alongside a reinforced EU presence. Once again, thank you for coming, and I believe we will have some time for a few questions. But before we start with questions, I would like to give the floor to Rod Moore, my principal deputy high representative, for whom it was also the first pick. Rod, you have the floor, please.
Hvala šefe, dobar dan svima. Ja ću da vam se obratim, nažalost, na engleskom jeziku. As the high rep just pointed out, this was indeed my first pick held in this very room earlier today and yesterday. And it was a wonderful opportunity for me not only to discuss the whole broad range of challenges facing Bosnia and Herzegovina, but also to delve into the issue that has become very near and dear to my heart over the last few months, and that, of course, is the issue of the Brčko district, for which I'm the supervisor. The issue of Brčko, of course, is one of the five objectives to which the High Representative just referred, and there was a great deal of interest, I can tell you, on the part of the PIC steering board members. I had the opportunity to share my views and my assessments, which I caveated very carefully as being, at this point, based upon only 2 months living in this country and so forth. But I pointed to what I believe is a broad range of remarkable success stories which have occurred in Brčko district over the last decade or last 12 years or so. And these are, of course, successes for which I can take absolutely no credit. The credit belongs to my many predecessors, to the political leadership of Brčko, and, of course, most of all, to the citizens of Brčko district. I also took the opportunity to remind the PIC steering board members of the steps that would be required to end the international supervision of Brčko. And I expressed my hope, my very sincere hope and my belief, because I do believe this, that when that supervision does come to an end, that we, the international community, will leave behind a vibrant, prosperous, and multi-ethnic community in Brčko. And if this happens, and again, I believe this is very much achievable, it would be a remarkable accomplishment. It would be a tremendous accomplishment. It would be a wonderful demonstration of how a partnership between the international community and local officials and local citizens can help rebuild a society, a community that had been torn apart by war, some of the most vicious fighting of the 1990s. So let's hope that we will be able to achieve that. Now, of course, there still is work to be done in Brčko district. I would be misleading you if I were to say otherwise. And there are many challenges left. There are challenges facing the institutions of Brčko district, including, or perhaps especially, in the area of rule of law and fighting corruption. And I've had many conversations in Brčko district with the leadership there. And, of course, there are also obligations on the part of the entities to the Brčko district, which need to be resolved before we can even take the initial steps required to eventually end the supervision of Brčko district. And these obligations, of course, include the famous issue of electricity for Brčko, but it also involves other issues, potential, including, for instance, the allocation of indirect tax revenues to the district of Brčko. We also discussed other challenges and obligations, including, for instance, the issue of residual entity debts to Brčko district and the matter which we all witnessed in October, the unfortunate situation whereby some citizens from residents of Brčko district were unable to take part in the elections on October 3rd. Regarding electricity, because I know there's a lot of interest in that, I laid out certainly my approach on this issue, and I believe that it met with a significant amount of understanding and support. I laid out essentially three parameters for a solution. First parameter being that whatever solution is found for the issue of electricity in Brčko district, it must be in accordance with European directives, with the treaty obligations of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Secondly, it must result in a reliable and secure supply of electricity to the citizens of Brčko district. And thirdly, it must be a fully transparent mechanism, a mechanism which will result or which will provide electricity to the citizens of Brčko district under regulated terms, under the same terms that are available to other citizens of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Thank you.